joining us in the Dirkadia podcast. This is Megan Spur.
Hannah Goldberg-Craig.
John Spengler.
Charles Spur.
Okay, I think we have to start with Diablo, as much as I want to yell about Ruby Rose being really hot.
So I've been MIA for a couple of weeks, and fucking BlizzCon happened, and you guys told me Diablo 4 is happening.
Yeah,
and
well...
it's fucking awesome.
Oof.
Also, Ruby Rose has always been hot.
Well,
that
yeah.
wasn't revealed in the last couple of weeks.
That's no. true. That's not breaking news.
That no. actually wasn't what I was woofing about. Yeah, man, I'm still... We continue to be conflicted about Blizzard and everything mm-hmm. that they do and support and or don't support, most notably. And so there were some damn cool-looking announcements that came out of BlizzCon, and I put this all with a heavy asterisk of, like, I... You know, I wasn't their target audience. I wasn't going to play these games anyways, so it's easy for me to be like, I'm not going to do it. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, building off kind of our conversation at the end of our last podcast, where I was talking about how it's very challenging to be someone who plays Blizzard games after the way that they handled the Blitzchung controversy and non-handling, kind of...
the non-apology apology?
Yeah, so, I mean,
I'm sorry you were insulted?
So, off the bat, the opening ceremony started with President of Blizzard, I believe, coming up and just kicking things off with a quote-unquote apology for the handling of the Hong Kong incidents. However, at no point in time did he ever specifically say what happened. He said, did not say Blitzchung, did not say Hong Kong, did not say China, did not say democracy, was just very vague of... during a Hearthstone event recently. I mean, I think at this point in time, unfortunately, we're all extremely familiar with both corporation and celebrity non-apology apologies, which is exactly what this was, where it was Blizzard is all about inclusion and everyone's voice is being heard and we made a mistake and we're sorry and we're going to take actions to do better, without talking about what the mistake was, without owning up for how they handled the mistake, which is a huge part of it, and then also without actually talking about how any of the actions... what any of the actions they're going to do to make things better are, which makes it seem like they don't have any actions, which, you know, I would be kind of surprised if they did at this point. And then just kind of went on to be very, like, self-congratulatory about how Blizzard games bring people together and how at BlizzCon they had people from, like, 20-some different countries or whatever. And it was a really awful way to start BlizzCon. And it immediately started me on a very negative feeling. The people I was watching with were also like, are you serious? This is... I guess I didn't get the digital ticket last year because there wasn't anything I was interested in, but like 3 or 4 years before that, I had been getting the digital ticket for BlizzCon, which I did not do this year. And it was just immediately like, wow, this is one of the most like weaselly apology, non-apologies. And it left a lot to be desired.
Yep. I'm just saying, like, I can't make the personal judgment of if you want to continue to play Blizzard games. You have to decide where this lies within your value judgment of what does your entertainment mean? What does it mean for them to support or not support different areas? I can tell you that this doesn't fall within the realm for me. So all of that being said, like mm-hmm. I have to put that up front. But I did watch the trailers from the announcements. And number one, if I were to pay to see it, Blizzard make a movie. All of your trailers are so pretty.
Yeah, their trailers continue to be cinema-level fucking media events.
Yep. Like,
they're so good.
Yep.
I mean, not Hearthstone, but everything else.
Well, okay, so to be fair, the Hearthstone art style is very different, and they did give an amazing song once again.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a good trailer.
It's a very good song.
It stuck with the art style of previous yes. Hearthstone trailers. I don't want to see a feature length done in that style.
No, right. But I would watch, like, web shorts or something. Like, sure. I would watch, like, a cartoon like that. But yes.
Yeah.
Blizzard CG cinematic department, please make a movie. But don't make a WoW movie.
Yeah. Okay, but
I think they have some redemption to do in the WoW movie department, so...
I just don't think it's worth trying.
Just sidestepping that one and moving on to the thing that we did watch first, which is Diablo 4.
World of Warcraft did great in China.
Moving on! Moving on.
Don't know how well it did in Hong Kong, though.
Fair.
They don't have a market there.
Not anymore, they don't. D4, I mean, my first reaction to it was, yeah, that's Diablo.
Yeah, no, I mean, they specifically start the trailer with the busted out ruins of a village where everyone fled because some bad shit was happening. Like, it's classic Diablo 1, with the classic Diablo 1 trailer of an empty, lonely village at sunset. Like, it is specifically harkening back to the first piece of cinema that Blizzard, at the time, ever made. Like, it is really potent right from the beginning. And then it's a fucking action-adventure, gritty, bloody, awful, gory, awesome fucking romp through Diablo lore.
I was gonna say, but it's specifically not Diablo. But
it is the world of Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Lore. But yeah, that
spoilers,
was,
by the way. Sorry.
Oh, no, not spoilers from the trailer, I guess.
I mean, we're gonna spoil what happens at the end of the trailer.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
And go, also, go watch the trailer. It's 9 minutes. It's great.
Yeah. It is 9 minutes, and I was shocked I watched 9 minutes of trailer. It feels like a 3 minute long trailer. It is exciting and fun.
Yes.
It is really good.
I only had to look away like twice for zombie like behavior.
Oh, there's some straight up zombie like behavior.
Yeah.
There sure is.
Yep. And I definitely was like, no, I'm out.
Oh, yeah. That jaw barely hanging off.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the dude like straightens up and you hear all the pop joints.
The crunching.
Yeah. I was like, oh, like it's not.
There was some zombie like typing detected.
Yeah. Definitely. So it looks like the main antagonist, instead of being Diablo, although I'm sure Diablo will be in Diablo 4, is Lilith.
Yeah.
Who is a super interesting character in lore. I'm really excited to see her in game. It's actually, it goes back to the lore of the creation of Sanctuary, and I think it's really cool they're pulling that in.
All of the hardcore Diablo fans played Diablo to death when it was like the Diablo 2 era, and then fell in love with the art book that came out at the time. And the art book was basic, like, you know, if you like Doom, you've probably also read the, like, design document that John Romero made, right? And with someone else whose name I'm forgetting. Where it was, like, gonna be, like, a multi-character RPG-style game. There was that for Diablo. Like, in the Diablo 2 era, there was a art book that had tons of information about the world and how angels and devils came together to make the world of Sanctuary. And it's all metal, and it's all ridiculous, and it's all awesome. And then Diablo 3 chooses nouns and verbs from that story and just makes a Marvel movie out of it, and it fucking sucks.
As much as I like D3, the plot is terrible.
D3 is super fun to play.
Yeah.
And then,
Reaper plot's not too terrible.
No. No,
Reaper
of Soups was inoffensive, which was so much better than the first game. It was just like, oh, wow, this is not making me angry. I like this.
I would go a step above and say Reaper of Souls was good.
Anyway, so
it wasn't great. It was fine. We can agree it was fine.
It was fine. It was a fallen angel making an orb of souls. I'm totally into it. It's fine.
It was fucking metal.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was really rad.
And then this trailer, specifically grittier, has shitty humans in it with, like, dark, like, motivations and, like, creepy dungeons with a bunch of monsters in it. And, you know, toying with forces beyond their comprehension, which is kind of the bread and butter of Diablo, which is why Diablo 3 sucked, because nothing was beyond your comprehension. You could just punch everything to death. And Diablo 4 seems to be bringing in the fact that, like, oh, hey, guys, did you forget about this lore in the background? There's bigger things that are at play rather than, like, Diablo that you could, I don't know, fucking whirlwind to death. Like, there's going to be some really cool, fun enemies in this game. And there's also a gameplay trailer that looks very slick, looks very Diablo 3, but looks, you know,
looks like an early gameplay trailer that's not going to look anything like the end result.
I think they specifically called out a few things, though, to maybe you can read into their intention, where there were some interactions between, like, monsters and PCs where, like, if a death happens when a gigantic monster with hooks, like, hits you, they, like, scoops your body into their stomach. Like, that happened at one point. That was super cool.
Yeah, that was another moment of blood spatter where I looked away.
Yep. And, like, the game looks a little slower. Sure, you're, like, barbarian leaping around and stuff, but, like, the enemies seem to stay on the screen longer. Like, it wasn't just Diablo 3 doing riffs endlessly, 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 endlessly.
And I will say, as far as gameplay footage goes, while I do think that is absolutely true for most gameplay footage, Blizzard is usually pretty careful about that. So I would say that their gameplay tends to look more like what the finished product will be, because they take so long historically to announce things to make sure that it's at a place where it's not gonna be look completely different. And, they're a very patient company. That well, Blizzard is. Activision not so much, but yeah. Blizzard is a fairly patient company in that.
And
way.
That gameplay trailer looked polished enough to come out tomorrow. It really did.
And they had gameplay at BlizzCon. So,
there was a swing and a miss expectation-wise with Diablo 3, where, like, a Diablo 3 trailer came out, and it was, like, super bright and marvel-y. Yeah. Like, there was, like, rainbow, like the meme was that there were, like, rainbows in the gameplay that they could, like, because there was, like, a waterfall, and people hooked onto that as, like, emblematic of the larger, like, oversaturated kind of superhero look of the game at the time. And, you know, that's fine, and that's not exactly fair, but I see why people would be skeptical of connecting this gameplay trailer to the end product, because people did get set different expectations for Diablo.
And it was one thing that they did very much address when they were talking about D4 is they really wanted to do the dark, they wanted to do the gritty, they wanted to do the gory. Another thing that was mentioned that made me really excited was that they did admit that they sort of over-indexed on sets and how armor sets influenced your gameplay.
Oh, good.
And that is something that they... Also, talent trees are back. Like, yep, like D2 style. Hopefully not in the permanence of those talent trees, which I'm sure will be much closer to either the way they handle it in Warcraft, which is you pay a certain amount of money that just goes up every time, mm-hmm. or just like D3, which is one of the good things about D3 is you can just customize it outside of battle. Which
if there's great. One thing that Blizzard's going to do is it's going to make it super user-friendly and experimentation-friendly, which is my favorite part of action RPGs, which is why Path of Exile is always a flop for me.
Right. But it is really nice that they recognize that the armor sets, while fun, just didn't really mesh with what they were going for the core gameplay, right? Like, it's, you want to have more ability to try different builds and do different things, whereas, you know, towards the latter end of D3, like post-Reaper, you got that armor set for that season, and then...
They realized their tent wasn't staying up, and they realized sets were there, and they put those poles in place, and the tent stayed up, and that was about it.
Which I can't super fault them for in that area, just because they did continue to support D3 with minor new content, with new maps and stuff like that. Continued to put out new armor sets and they supported a lot of D3 without people having to pay, with the exception of like the Necromancer, which was $20 for new classes.
Yeah,
fairly reasonable for AAA. So,
and to be fair, they didn't include the part of the trailer where Lilith introduces the real money auction house, which is a true horror of Diablo 4.
Probably the best idea for them to leave that one out. Not talk about that. Let's not talk about that.
Not available in Hong Kong.
So, specifically the trailer looks like... I'm actually going to bring in D&D here, where like D&D 4th edition, this may not be meaningful to a lot of people, but like D&D 4th edition was a good game that worked but was flawed, and Hasbro needed to go back and Wizards of the Coast needed to go back, so they made 5th edition, which was a huge callback to what worked before. I really feel like this trailer, both the gameplay and the cinematic trailer, is narratively and mechanically a callback to what did work in Diablo 2, which is kind of what they kind of want to do. Like, oh, we're going to make a grittier game about a tragic story where shit happens, but you're still getting magic pants, and it's super fun. It just seems like Blizzard realizing they had a misstep, and then waiting a couple years, and then, you know, resetting the table, and then people are super excited for a badass trailer. Like I am. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Specifically keying into the lore that they kind of ignored / shit on in the last game. So I'm super excited for that specifically.
I never played D3, despite John harassing me endlessly for the past... Well, no. So I would say for at least a solid year.
Yeah, there was a year of you should play D3.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Until you found somebody made a video where there was a bug.
It was a screenshot of a bug of endlessly spawning zombies, and it was like 86 zombies on screen. That would never happen in game.
Yeah.
But,
I don't believe you. And then this trailer came out where I had to move out at least twice, because of zombie material. Yeah. So never gonna happen.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah.
No, it's... Yeah.
To be fair, I also think that was before you really, like, realized the kind of game that, like, really keyed in with you, right? Like, that was a little bit before, I feel like that was around the time where you were really starting to understand the story.
I was thinking more that, like, narrative is stuff, something that I'm interested in more than I am about lore, right? Like, lore is important, and I do enjoy it, but not as much as I enjoy being told and interacting in a cool story.
Destiny 2 has lore. Like,
oh, that's a good, that's a good, all that's over a good the place. Illustration.
There is actually lore everywhere. That story is terrible.
Yeah, no, the things you're doing on screen and interacting with are awful, and the world's cool.
The world's that's cool. Diablo 3. Like, that's Diablo 3. Digging into, like, just these little story vignettes about Guardians of the Past, or what happened during the Golden Age, what was the downfall all about? That's great, but actually playing the game and going through the story of the game is...
It's the difference between narrative and world building.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, not my jam. Also, top down, not my jam.
Yep.
Also, yeah, multiple things. But, yeah, also things that have endlessly spawning zombies, also not my jam. So
There are a lot of zombies.
Yeah.
There are a lot of zombies.
Yes.
Honestly, I would be super happy, and I understand this may not be in the business model anymore. I think this is more the realm of indie games, and I understand that. But I would be really happy if Blizzard trusted their fans and trusted their fans to pay them $60 every time they wanted to come out with a new expansion and just made a game that was a solid single-player, multiplayer co-op experience that was a bunch of hours long, a creepy dungeon, maybe some story reveals, key into the lore, make a good, like, 20 hours of story and 100 hours of dungeon grind, and then trust their fans to come back in 12 months and pay them another $60 for a great fucking expansion. That's all I want. I don't want random... like, I love randomly generated content and stuff, but I don't need, like, endless runs, optimization shit. Just get me a solid co-op dungeon-crawling experience that is creepy, gritty. I can feel the punches of my barbarian as I, like, fucking blast zombie heads off. And have fun with my buddies. Like, I really had fun playing with Hannah and everyone,
yeah,
like playing Diablo 3. Like, that was super fun.
That was super
fun. Let's do co-op dungeon crawls together, and I will pay you $60 a year for more Diablo 4. Just don't make an MMO model with, like, a weird fucking monetization shit thing. Like, Blizzard, trust me to give you money. I'll give you money. Ooh! Anyway, that's my axe. I came today with my own axe to grind.
John did not enjoy power leveling me through rifts constantly.
I was gonna do it anyway, man.
As it's just like, just stay back there. Oh, you died again.
Yep.
The sad thing is, after you guys did that, Eric and I stumbled across, like, the absolute best way to power level somebody. You get them up to cap in less than 2 hours.
Was it not Cal level? Cal level works.
No, Treasure Goblin. The treasure level. Because you get the thing that gives you XP from gold pickups, and then you run
gold wrap. It was a Puzzle belt. Ring.
Oh, belt.
Yes.
It was the belt. The gold wrap belt.
It was the gold wrap belt, and then you threw a puzzle ring into the.
And if you want to go crazy, you put on Kane's set that gives you bonuses. Yep. And
then you go to Narnia, and then
I know.
I power leveled a few characters
in this game. You run the
treasure level, and then you can do cow level to finish it off.
Okay,
I'm gonna regret asking this. Cow level?
Who wants to tell Megan?
Record scratch. You might wonder how we got here. 2019, Megan doesn't know what a fucking cow level is.
What listeners, what you did not see was Megan looking at me to ask me this question, me staring at her for a moment, and then Charles, John, and I just exchanging the longest look.
Okay.
Cow level is, we're laughing because Cow Level is, like, super iconic, like, Diablo.
It's Family Guide through the joke a couple of times, actually.
Yes.
What was the origin of the Cow Level? It was a tooltip.
Was it tooltip?
Yeah.
There is no Cow Level.
Yeah, so there was a...
Wasn't the tooltip, don't look for the Cow Level or something
Don't look
like
for
that?
The Cow Level or something. Yeah. So in Diablo 2, there was, in the multiplayer UI, where you were picking the server that you were going to play in, there was a gem. And you could click on the gem, and clicking on the gem would say the gem is on and the gem is off. In your chat, it did nothing. And eventually it would tell you there is no Cow Level. There were tooltips in other games that said there is no Cow Level, don't look for the Cow Level. Eventually, an April Fool's Blizzard thing came out with a cow level where they had 3D modeled cows, blah, blah, blah. Diablo 2, there was a cow level. It was super secret. You had to find certain items to put into the crafting Herodric cube. You click the button, it combined the items, and the portal to the cow level happened. And it was a bunch of 3D modeled fucking cows with like axes coming after you. And it was happened to be one of the most enemy dense areas in the game. So in Diablo 2, if you wanted to farm really good items, you would go to the cow level, kill all the cows because it was so dense with enemies and they had really good drop rates. And then in Diablo 3, they eventually like had a bovine bardage that you could like pop into a thing. There was a cow level. There was another cow level. There was a cow king in it. And like, it turned into a joke that people at Blizzard snuck into games.
Yeah.
And then people keyed into it. And then eventually in Diablo 2, they made it. And it turned into a huge thing. It was one of the earliest examples, actually, I believe, of like a weird Easter egg fun thing and a community latching onto it. And then a major AAA game developer making a piece of content around it. Like, it was a really cool moment. And then Diablo 3 made a cow level because it was expected. Yes. And they made it, and it was fine, whatever.
It kind of sucked.
And it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the thing. Yeah. The cow level was a hidden...
running joke.
A hidden piece of content turned into a early internet meme, and then Blizzard made a level in a game.
They made a level out of a meme. Got
yes,
it.
Yes,
you
correct.
You literally could have led with that.
No, the whole thing...
But there was history!
No, the historical context matters!
Yeah, you need
it was
to know
one
the
of the
context.
First times!
Yeah.
And if they just said that, it would sound like Borderlands.
That's true.
Mm.
That's true.
Yeah,
I would have understood that too, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not the understanding, it's the understanding of the cultural importance of the cow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Stop politicizing cows! Mm-hmm. I'm not playing games for your politics!
Fat cow! So, Diablo 4 looked rad.
Yeah, Diablo 4 looked good, and I'm sure it has a cow level.
I'm sure it will have a cow level.
Real high-def 4K cow level.
Oh, yeah.
8K cow level, man.
Gotta get that progressive scan cow.
How many flux do you need for those cows?
Fucking real-time ray tracing cows.
volumetric cows.
Woof.
Best experience with NVIDIA.
Okay. Moving on. Not sponsored by NVIDIA.
What else?
Can we be sponsored by NVIDIA? I need a new video card.
Stop. Let's
see.
Yeah,
me too, actually. They're sponsored by NVIDIA.
Oh my god. Guys, no. Stop it. Don't get me sued. Moving on.
Can we be sponsored by Microsoft? Megan's here.
No, stop. We discussed that last episode.
Okay.
We're not here. We are not allowed to do that. Now
wait,
that I...
Doesn't the Xbox One use an NVIDIA
stop.
Card?
Guys. God. No.
Marketing. The Dorky Media Podcast now
not sponsored by Xbox.
Does Game Pass have a cow level?
Game Pass probably has a cow level.
I don't. Oh, not that I know of yet.
Ask somebody else on your team. They'll tell you
if there's a cow level.
There's going to be a cow level.
There is. Diablo is not on Game Pass yet, so I don't think that there is a cow level.
Seriously. I'm surprised Excel doesn't have a cow level at this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So there were obviously it was BlizzCon. There were a ton of announcements. Mm-hmm. I think the two other like particularly big ones were the new World of Warcraft expansion, Shadowlands.
Trailer looked cool.
Trailer looked pretty cool.
Continue to have two long eyebrows.
You know, Megan has this problem with elf eyebrows in Warcraft, and I
really
just,
do.
It's just their eyebrows.
The
man.
Moment
that's
just
she,
how elves are.
The it's, moment that she picked up the helm of the who not Lich King.
No, it's the Lich King.
Okay,
it's
the helm of control.
Domination. I believe.
Domination. Okay.
Yes. So there's a moment where it kind of gives you this like thought that she's gonna put it on. And the entire time, I am absolutely looking, I'm like, no, how could she do that? No, the eyebrows won't fit. There's no
way. The thing that gets me is you were like, the eyebrows won't fit. Meanwhile, I'm looking at her 2-foot-long ears that she has. It's Sylvanas, so she's wearing a ranger's cowl hood thing, which she has cut holes in for her ears to stick out. But there's no way that she would have been able to wear that anyway. She's a hunter.
Yep. I just like that John is still like, look at the sky falling. Like, this is amazing. And I was like, nope. Glad she tore that apart because her fucking eyebrows wouldn't fit in there.
Listen, the two eyebrows would swing down like old school Link fucking bangs. And they would be totally in style. It would be fine.
Well, oh, I man. Feel like
I'm just picturing
maybe...
Bolvar being like, that's not class. It's class restricted. I'm sorry.
No, just like
bitch. Don't roll on something you can't.
Fucking hunters.
Goddamn hunters. Doesn't matter. Always. I've been playing a lot of classic lately, and this is actually a problem I'm having again, which is not a problem I thought would ever be in my life again. So, yeah. Like...
Charles played a hunter, too, specifically.
Yeah, fuck you!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, Eric's new main, his character at 68 Classic, is a hunter. Fuck all y'all.
I did not roll on agility daggers. The rogues were like, no, rogue? Like, yeah, but agility.
Do you know how many best...
Or dex.
Do you know how many best-in-slot pieces for goddamn ret paladins are leather?
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Oh, why am I playing this game? Anyway, yeah, so, like, the storyline of the last couple expansions has just been, like, Sylvanas going more and more and more crazy and evil, and, like, now everybody hates her, not just the Alliance. And so her whole thing is, I'm gonna fucking destroy the world, because the world's a prison, and I'm gonna set us all free, and the world is also, like, a person in WoW now.
Okay,
like,
now that part, I don't
know. Wait,
the planet is a living... creature.
So I just watched Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance, so I'm like really into this. So
yeah, sure, whatever that is. That yeah, same thing. Sure,
yeah,
yes,
okay.
I haven't played the last expansion. There's a bunch of lore stuff going on that I don't know shit about. But the idea behind World of Warcraft Shadowlands, which is the next expansion, is that Sylvanas, because she destroyed the Helm of Domination and made it impossible for there to be a Lich King, means that she has opened this passageway or rift or something. She literally blew up the sky.
Oh, I played Rifts.
No.
Do I need to say fuck you again, Charles?
Wait, is Glitter Boy like
a
or... is it a new class, or...
There's going to be a new class. Oh, there's going to be a new class. That's it. Glitter Boy.
There it is. Mega damage.
No, actually, so they're also bringing in a stats, a level squish. So it's the opposite of mega damage. But I'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, nice.
The Shadowlands are where the spirit healer lives. So when you die in WoW and you need to get a res, and you're in that kind of like between worlds thing, those are the Shadowlands.
That's very cool. Okay.
So it's actually going to be neat in that you're going to be able to interact with people that you've killed. So like, you know, characters that have been killed in lore, you'll be able to interact with them.
We don't need to make any new content. It's all there.
Oh man, we'll get to see Hogger again.
You know how many?
Oh, for Christ's sake, I love it. He better be the end game shit.
So something actually really interesting that came out. This is a tangent, but something that really interesting came out of the WoW art discussion. So when they were talking about what kind of their like design ideas for WoW were going to be, they took a model from Warcraft 3 and upscaled it, and like
which they were doing anyway.
Yeah,
because. Anyway.
They said, okay, this, like, they upscaled it, did some other fancy stuff to it, and they were like, alright, this is the central model, like, this is our thesis of what the art in WoW is going to look like. It was Hogger. The entirety of WoW's art style is based on Hogger.
Okay, I'm sorry, another dumb question.
Hogger is...
I'm gonna fucking flip this mic over.
Hogger is in the human starting area, like the first elite mob that you ever come across. He's a level 11 gnoll, which is like a dog person.
Okay, because I'm like, I played beta all the way through the first expansion, and I legit don't remember Hogger, which is probably meant like it was something that was not...
It was another kind of like big joke with the community. Like Hogger comes back later after they restructured a lot of stuff in Cataclysm. Hogger actually comes back as the final boss of a dungeon. Like, it was a big deal.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he was just a gnoll who was running around out in Ellen Forest.
Yeah,
wait,
but he's a bitch.
Didn't you have to get around, like, a bunch of murlocs to get to him?
There's a ghost next to there. That
sort of?
Murlocs.
There's like
Oh my gosh, this is like 20 years
like,
now that
yeah,
I
it's
vaguely
been, it's
remember.
Been, this is the 15-year anniversary of WoW, so
it's
yeah,
like
it's
a hot
minimum.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Specifically, it was the first thing that forced people to maybe work together if you wanted to do it. That was the important thing.
And if you didn't understand what an elite was, an elite mob, then you ran up and you were just like, I can kill this just like everything else, and then he would just like three-shot you, and you're like, what just happened?
And you need to fucking wait for the people to show up that were also befuddled by that elite mob.
And then you'd have to be like, do we, like,
work together?
There's, like, an invite button? Like, do we make a group or whatever?
Hogger was important for a lot of people, I think.
Yep.
Anyway.
So, one of the biggest things about the new expansion is that currently WoW's level cap is, I think, 120. Yes, it's 120, which is kind of crazy.
Just double what you were experienced.
Yeah, in vanilla, the level cap was 60. So, yes.
Wasn't it 40 for a while?
Or no, was 40 was when you got your mount.
Yeah, okay. 40 is when you get your first mount. 60 was again, level cap
it's
when you
been
get your second mount.
A minute.
I do not expect you to remember this much about WoW. Honestly, having gone back and played Classic for like 2 months now, there's so much about Vanilla WoW that I just completely and totally forgotten. It's really weird. But
paying for your skills?
Oh yeah.
Going back to your trainer every level?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Thankfully, this is like 1.12-ish, so it's not original talent trees, thank God.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, my improved sprint doesn't just like make sprint last 2 seconds longer or something. So they decided, like, you know, it's the levels are getting insane, and also like it's kind of hard to get there. You've got, oh my gosh, how many expansions now? Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, Pandaria, Warlords of Draenor, Legion, Battle for Azeroth, 7 expansions,
yep.
And then of course 8 if you count vanilla base mm-hmm. game. So what they're doing is they're squishing it all down.
Okay.
And your vanilla level is 1 to 50, and then you will level to 60 with Shadowlands.
Oh.
So the way that they're handling this is actually really interesting. There is going to be, like, a new kind of starting experience for levels 1 through 10 that will actually culminate with what they're calling, like, a mini dungeon. So okay. It's supposed to be, like, I think it's supposed to be, like, either you can do it by yourself or you only need one other person to do it. So it's, like, an introductory instance. And then you pick which expansion you want to level through.
Oh.
So if you're coming back to the game and you're like, well, I left a Cataclysm, I guess I'll pick up where I left off, I'll go level through Pandaland.
Yeah.
Then you pick Pandaland and you level through that. And it'll, yeah, and you can pick any of the expansions.
And you can just make new characters and level through the other ones.
It's really nice for people who play a lot of characters.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's actually a very cool way of doing it. I'm personally really happy about it because I did this not that long ago. I think it was last year or the year before when I went back to WoW for a couple of months to play the Legion expansion, because the Legion expansion was story-wise everything I had ever wanted from WoW, and it was enough to make me go back for a little while. And so Eric and I started brand new characters at level 1 up to the cap at the time, which was 110.
Sure.
And it was painful. It was really painful. It took a really long time, but we got to play through 3 expansions that we'd never played through, and right. It was really funny because, you know, I left WoW for a lot of reasons. A lot of people left WoW because they were like, oh, pandas are dumb. Like, the Pandarian expansion is going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. That was not a big part of my reason for leaving, but I also wasn't, like, that excited about it. It's one of the best freaking expansions of the game. Like, it was actually incredibly fun. It was really gorgeous. I don't know what Endgame was like, obviously, because I was just leveling through.
Right.
But it was a super fun experience, and I'm super glad that you have that option now to just, like, right. take the bulk of your leveling through something fun like that.
Yeah, no, the... Like, the environments were beautiful in that thing. I love
them. Oh, so pretty.
I love the look of everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't really care for the poop quests, but, you know, that's just...
Poop quests are just part
poop
of WoW.
Poop quest Steve!
This is where Poop quest Steve comes from. It's just part of WoW. You just embrace it.
I haven't thought about Poop quest Steve in ages.
PQS, man.
Well, yeah, we are on episode 256.
Wow.
Yeah, PQS.
Steve was from, like, episode 5.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, wow. This doesn't count our side project podcasts of, like, Quick Play, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Huh.
So this is just 256 Dorkadia podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve.
Fucking Steve. Yeah, there's a bunch of other crap about WoW, but that was, yeah, that's kind of the big thing. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. There is one other really important thing for me, a role player. They're finally improving character creation and customization in World of Warcraft.
Right.
They are adding more features, they are adding more hairstyles, they are adding, if you play Forsaken, you cannot have your bones show.
Wow.
Which is huge, so if you're playing a Forsaken, you can actually have your elbows covered by armor instead of immediately ripping the sleeve off of whatever thing you put on, including plate.
Yep.
different body types, apparently, which is something I am hugely excited about, because one of my characters is a fat elf. How much I would like her model in-game to be portrayed as a fat elf. Also, maybe so many people would stop trying to ERP with me. It'd be great. It's so nice. So yeah, the character customization thing is a pretty big deal. They're rolling it out for the original races first, because they've been slowly updating all of the models. So, like, it's a little bit of a rolling thing. I think the next I don't know if it's live in retail WoW yet, because I don't play retail WoW, but they just did a revamp of the Worgen and what came in at the same time as Worgen?
Goblins?
Yeah, Goblins. Yeah.
So they did a revamp of Worgen and Goblins.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, some cool stuff happening. The Shadowlands are have a bunch of different factions. I think there's 4 different factions, and you make like a covenant with them, which sounds a little bit like the Eldor and the other guys from Burning Crusade.
Sure.
But the factions all have like very unique styles. Like one is like a very like reminds me of like the Celestial sections in Diablo 3, actually. Sure. Like the very bright, like heavenly. There's like,
which is like my jam. For sure.
Yeah, there's vampires, just like straight up vampire bat, like gothic. There's like plague dudes that are like the very like plague undead bug feel, and then there's like Cenarian-ish, like nature-y, like that kind of thing.
I like that they're continuing to work in like vermin insect into the undead thing. Like, yes. That's very WoW.
Yep.
Or very Warcraft.
Very Warcraft, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if I'll play it as an expansion. I did not play Battle for Azeroth, which was probably a very good decision because everybody says it's pretty bad. But it looks really interesting.
So. Yeah. Again, bringing it back around, the trailer looks fucking sick. I don't know. It's every Warcraft trailer that happens. There's a fight and then some hint at what's going to happen next.
It was really nice to see that kind of return to Ice Crown and just like some, like it's nice when they bring back things that were super important about other parts of stuff.
You know, some semblance of continuity when the game changes so completely every couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
That being said, it's also very disappointing that there just continues to be no sign of a WoW 2. Like, it seems like WoW 2 is just them revamping the game and the engine and everything through expansions, as opposed to what they really need to do is just douse the whole thing with fire, create a new high-tech engine, make it actually look like the way MMOs can look today, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You can still do that in WoW's fairly simplistic art style, and then set the story, like, fucking 20 or 50 years in the future so they can have kind of a fresh slate to work from. But at this point in time, I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Shit happened.
Yes. No, the Elder Gods
got, and now we're here!
The Elder Gods got sick of fucking shit getting fucked up every 2 years. Here's a new blank slate.
Yeah.
It's been boring for 50 years.
Well, I mean, it would be nice to be able to introduce something that players couldn't solve, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it was to the point of where it was even kind of a joke of like, yep, Azeroth, I'm sure it's going to have like a long, peaceful history. I'm sure there's no loose ends floating around that need tied up or anything like that. And I was like, that's a funny joke, but also, good lord, it's been 15 years. Make a new game. And then I think the other really big thing was Overwatch 2.
Yeah, the Overwatch 2 trailer was real good.
Yeah, the trailer is, again, Blizzard cinema quality, visuals super great, great storytelling, great characters.
I would watch an Overwatch movie.
I care so much more about Overwatch trailers than I do about the game itself.
Oh, yeah.
But the cinematics are so good. Is going to have PvE story.
No,
I might care more about that.
So explain that to me. Like, I'm not in the loop there. Like, apparently this is more PvE oriented. Like, Overwatch 2 is a game coming out.
So, Overwatch 2, I have the article from PC Gamer pulled up just because I don't remember all the specifics, but it's basically going really all in on PvE. The game's main campaign, made up of cooperative story missions, will see new and old Overwatch heroes teaming up against the Null Sector. Robotic army players fought in the Uprising event from the original game. So there have been, throughout the last 2 or 3 years of Overwatch, there have been some story missions that have been PvE focused. These are going to be like those, but better, essentially.
Yeah.
Blizzard said players will team up as different sets of heroes and fight to defend the world from the Omnic forces of Null Sector, uncover the motives behind the robotic army's attacks, and come face to face with new rising threats around the globe. And then they'll also have item pickups that can slightly modify a hero's playstyle, so there's more customization in heroes.
Nice.
So I don't recall. I think it's customization of abilities, not so much like talent trees.
Sure, yeah. And I'm sure the items are, this ability has a lower cooldown, this ability does a thing when you...
Yeah, like a secondary effect, that kind of thing.
You teleport, you leave behind a field of fire or something like that, yeah.
And then on the other end of the kind of the PvE spectrum are hero missions, which are missions separate from the story that are designed to be highly replayable. In this mode, players can level up heroes and unlock customization options that modify their abilities. For instance, in the gameplay trailer, we see a modified Tracer build that chains her pulse bomb explosion to multiple enemies.
Oh.
The other thing about hero missions is that they kind of compared this to adventure mode in D3.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm hearing, actually.
Yes, it's which like... is really cool, actually. Yeah. I like, adventure mode being added to D3 was a fantastic...
Well, it made a playable game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. And those, as far as we can tell so far, those will just affect PvE and not PvP, because you could get unbalanced pretty quickly.
Yeah. Don't even try to balance the two. It's fine.
So, they're really talking... One of the big things that Kaplan was talking about with Overwatch 2 is they didn't want it to be, like, a traditional sequel. So, it's almost more like an expansion with some new stuff in it.
So, you had specifically, before we started recording, hinted at some crossplay.
Yeah. So, some new additions, like new heroes and multiplayer modes, also come to Overwatch 1 at no additional charge, which is obviously a pretty freaking big deal. The two games will continue to coexist as one big PvE experience, while Overwatch 2's other new additions are exclusive to the sequel. So the PvE stuff is just in Overwatch 2. If you're super into PvE, if you want more story, if you want more characterization, that's where you go. If you're happy with the PvP angle of it, you don't get left behind. Like, you can still, and you'll still PvE with people in Overwatch 2.
Yeah, like yeah.
So competitive stuff, like ladders are, like, shared. I guess that's, yeah.
Yeah. And then Charles reminded me of something earlier that is really freaking rad, is that if you do go to Overwatch 2, you bring all your unlocks with you. So all your skins, all your sprays, all your, you know, if you got gold guns from competitive and that kind of thing, like, it all comes with you. So their kind of big thing that they were, like, the sort of marketing tagline that they kept coming back to was nobody gets left behind.
Yeah.
Which I think is very cool, because I do think that that is, like, well, we just watched this happen with Destiny and Destiny 2, right? Like, that seemed like a tough transition.
Yeah, that was rough. Which they tried to make a story out of, and since then they've just continued to reintroduce old Destiny 1 stuff into Destiny 2.
Which totally undermines the whole this is a new paradigm, this is a new era thing. As opposed to shilling the same old content.
Right, which didn't stop me from spending 4.5 hours with Marty from All Comics Considered on Saturday, running through the new dungeon, but still.
Yeah. No, but I want to start ranting about the gigantic babies that are the gaming sphere, but, you know, there is this idea of, you know, you get invested in a game, you want to continue playing that game, and you don't want to feel like the developer of that game has moved on to something new. I get that. You're also a gigantic baby. But, like, it's still fine. Like getting the best of both worlds is still possible, and it sounds like Blizzard is doing that.
Well, because when you're looking at a game that has a huge community, it's important that you keep that kind of thing. Like, I think in some aspects, there's a little bit of immaturity around it, but, like, when the community is such a key, important aspect, and you don't want to split that up between two games, and you also don't want to charge somebody, you know, $60 to get an experience that they don't care about.
Right.
Just so that they continue the experience that they already have. Like, that's not a good feeling as a person who wants to spend money on things.
And unfortunately, human psychology requires us to label something Overwatch 2. Instead of, like, Overwatch, the PvP thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the PvE thing, sorry. The PvE thing.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why they're, like, we're really trying to change what people think of as a sequel. Like, what a sequel is.
Yeah. It's like,
No, I was going to say the whole thing with Destiny, and the reason that people were upset with it was that they didn't flat out say, but they implied that you would be taking everything with you from game to game.
Which didn't happen.
You took your character, but your character didn't get to keep any of their stuff.
Not only that, but the players didn't take their things with them, and the developers didn't take their things with them either, because they still made the same mistakes of Destiny 1.
Well, yeah,
that was a totally different thing, though. Like, Blizzard's not going to do that. These are the same teams.
Yeah,
making it's the same Overwatch fucking team. Game. Yeah, it's the Overwatch team.
Now, what I did find very interesting, and I think it's going to be interesting of how this works with the split between the two games, is that Overwatch 2 They have also made engine improvements to the point of where characters actually have a new look and like new art. There's a slightly new art style in Overwatch 2.
It's I guarantee you, Overwatch,
but
I guarantee you, Overwatch 1 is going to get revamped.
I suspect they're just going to roll it out across the whole thing because this is actually, I feel, very similar to how they've handled WoW over the last 15 years, right? Like, and that's why there isn't a WoW 2 is because they're just remaking WoW through expansion upgrades and that kind of thing. So I think that they're just going to do it very similarly in Overwatch 2, but they're actually marketing around it now because it's easier to grok as a sequel than it is a continuation of expansions, which is a very MMO-centric thing.
Yeah. And if there's one thing that Blizzard has done in the background quietly that is one of their most monetizable things is getting their games to run on potatoes.
That's true.
So they can probably roll out any graphical improvements they want. They're not going to do it unless it can run on a machine that's fucking, you know, 7-8 years old.
It's true. Yeah.
So no, it's actually fun.
Yeah. I can get Overwatch 1 to run on my old gaming laptop, which is about 8 years old now.
Yeah.
And also, it's just, personally, I am actually really excited about it. I've wanted more story. I wanted more PvE. That's what a lot of people in the community want because the characters are super engaging and they resonate and there's this cool wide variety of them. So we know at least one of the new characters that we're going to be getting is Sojourn, which is very cool because she's, I believe, the first female black hero in Overwatch, I believe. And she is also one of, like, the original Overwatch people. Like, you see her in Winston's picture with Anna Mara and Jim Morrison. Like, Sojourn is the young lady in the front with the white hair, and she looks really rad. So, beginning a bunch of new characters.
31, right? Was that the number?
I believe
they're Baskin Robbins?
No, I think it was 31.
32. That's 32.
No, Baskin Robbins is 31.
Was it? I thought Baskin Robbins was
31. 31 flavors.
All right.
Yeah.
I think there are currently...
This is the one thing I know about this conversation. Yeah. Only thing I know.
All of a sudden, Megan's in the podcast. Baskin Robbins.
I think it's currently 31, and then they're bringing all 31 to Overwatch 2, and they're adding at least... I think there's at least four more, but I'm sure...
That shows the last time I played Overwatch. It was not fucking 31 heroes. Jesus Christ.
I could also be wrong about that, but that sounds about accurate for what they've added.
Yeah, I played Overwatch when it was in beta, and then when there was a free weekend a while, I don't know.
Dude, I played the shit out of Overwatch when it first launched. Yeah. It was good.
Oh God, did I ever play so much Overwatch?
I'm not about it, but it's fine. It's good. It's a good pew-pew shoot-shoot game.
Yeah, I'm interested in the PvE stuff, but, like, PvP is not my thing.
This is totally extrapolation from my point of view. I don't know if this is true at all, but Blizzard is doing the whole World of Warcraft Classic thought experiment, basically, reselling the fucking experience of old WoW. And the WoW Classic Reddit, if it is anything indicative of the actual product of playing the game... It's very wholesome. Like, there is a lot of... No?
Yes! Okay. Yes, it is! It's so incredibly weird how different the experience is of playing WoW in 2004 versus... Playing WoW Classic in 2004 versus playing WoW Classic in 2019.
So, specifically, Blizzard learning the lesson of communities, closely-knit nerds that just want to play their games together... On their own Discord server, they don't need to fucking do their thing with Blizzard. Like, just let them play their games together. I think that might be emboldening them to make a PvE Overwatch. To have groups of friends play this game, which they were already doing with Overwatch 1, but they want to just do dungeons.
Yeah. I think it's entirely possible.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea, actually, to let friends play this really good game together and not have to, you know, I don't know, wade into toxic PvP shit.
And that was, like, that was absolutely one of WoW Classic's major, like, focuses because they rolled out a Find Your Friends. They set up fucking old school WoW forums and you were like, all right, I played Alliance on this server and there's just a forum that pops up and you just post like, hey, I'm back and I'm playing and I have been talking to people that I have not talked to for... I'm pretty good at keeping up with a lot of the people I was very close to in WoW since I married one of them, and another one of them was best man at my wedding, so it's not... This was not entirely aimed towards me, but there are a couple of people I haven't spoken to for 5, 6, 7 years.
Can you imagine being a person on the Blizzard side getting a little teary hearing these stories that their product, like, brought people together? And they might want to do that with Overwatch?
Yeah.
Like, that might be the thing they're doing.
Well, and I mean, that's what they're trying to market around, and that's why, kind of honestly, the Hong Kong thing was so disappointing, is because they really try to say, our games bring people together, and to be so outwardly and explicitly negative about a community of people that need help right now because they're fighting for freedom and democracy, that's why, like, besides it just being a bad decision, it's also very antithetical about what Blizzard says they're about.
Yep.
And that was one of, I think that was one of the biggest reasons why, like, I mean, obviously there was a ton of outcry around it in a political sense and people who don't know anything about it, but why so many people who played Blizzard games are like, hey, what the hell? Like, what, you know, you're not doing the thing you told us you wanted to do for 20 years now. This is the 15th anniversary of WoW. It's the 25th anniversary of Warcraft as a franchise.
Yeah. A lot of lives have been shaped by this. And it's hard to, you know, reconcile that idea with the company making shitty corporate decisions.
Also, small tangent about the wholesomeness. I was on Trade Chat the other day, and Trade Chat is, of course, a hive of scum and villainy. Even still on... Excuse me, on retail. Like, if I go into retail and I go into Trade Chat, like, it's just nasty. But I go into Trade Chat on Classic, and somebody is just talking about losing their job and how nice their severance package was. And other people are like, wow, that's a really nice severance package. And you get, like, on-job training. And this is not shit we would have talked about in 2004.
It's almost like everyone's aged 15 years.
It's just... The amount of times I've had people have to go AFK because of kids is just, like... And the amount of conversations I've seen people have about, like, raising their children really blows me away. And I gamed with people who were somewhat older than I was at the time. Yeah. And, it, like, even then, only, like, one or two people had kids. It's just... It's a little mind-blowing.
We've come a long way since minus 50 DKP.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People are just, that's one of the reasons I've been actually enjoying Classic is just people know these encounters and know what they're doing, so shit's a lot easier and not, like, pulling teeth. And B, people are just so much more reasonable and nice.
Old is what you're looking for. Old! People are old!
So, I mean, if that's what it takes, man! I got Deadbinds done in, like, 30 minutes! As level 15!
That's so fucking funny.
It's nice.
Oh, that was an evening back in the day.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway. So, what I want right now is a, like, VH1, Where Are They Now? For Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, all the WoW meme people, like the big blue dress guy, Leroy Jenkins, the 50 DKP guy, the guy who did the Rafflemail video. Yeah, just like all of those. Where are they now? Blizzard. Oh, well, I don't want to work for Blizzard right now, but Blizzard, put me on your marketing team. I got ideas.
Wow, do we want to skip over to a brief takedown of Batwoman?
Oh, man. Okay, I can make this fast because it doesn't require a lot of time.
Is it Google image search Ruby Rose and then
just be disappointed.
Then avoid Batwoman.
Yeah. Honestly.
More or less.
That is the way to enjoy it. You can just do a Google image search of Ruby Rose. She is just a beautiful human being. And that is...
Whatever spaceship she came down on is well stocked with beautiful people. Yes.
She's beautiful. Batwoman is a character I care about. Batwoman is this is a lot about diversity. It is about a lesbian character who has struggled with oppression because of being a lesbian and coming into her own as a superhero and, you know, having a history of being part of the Bat family is a very different background. And they, you know, this is hard in a CW world where everything is kind of glossed over a lot. I started watching it because I wanted to see, they kind of start bringing in Batwoman in one of the crossovers.
They did a Crisis style crossover.
It wasn't Elseworlds. It was something.
I thought they were originally doing, like, a Crisis.
But no, I thought they're now doing Crisis.
They are doing Crisis this year. It was whatever the crossover last year was.
Whatever the last Crisis was. Yeah, anyways.
I can't remember.
There was an alien race that was...
No, Either way, they found them. They found themselves in Gotham. They found Batwoman, and now the new show is bringing it back before Batwoman actually becomes Batwoman. Ruby Rose plays Kate Kane, who is Bruce Wayne's cousin, and she is Batwoman. That's not a big spoiler if you have been on the internet in the past, like, 10 years.
Or picked up a Bat comic in the last 20 years. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. Yeah. So,
I mean, technically, if you picked up a Bat comic in the last 50 years, because she's not a new character. This iteration of her is new, but...
This
character is not new. She's in the Golden Age.
So, Ruby Rose is a... gorgeous human being that couldn't act her way out of a paper bag. She has the emotional range of tepid to lukewarm. That is as far as she goes.
She's definitely there.
It's so frustrating too, because like her swagger is great for the role, and it's so nice that they actually hired an actress who isn't straight to play a queer character. Like queer actress, queer character that is like, it's wonderful when we get
that
the diversity.
Math checked out. But so on top
can we also
of,
get
yes, it definitely suffers from Arrow syndrome, where things are just so cheesy that it's, oh god, it's so bad. Then the writing, I mean, all right, no, all right. So we got Arrow syndrome, where the writing's really bad and glossy. Then we get Ruby Rose, who can't act, and then we have writing. That makes no sense. Thomas Elliot.
Episode 3.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Episode 3?
Trace. Yeah. Yep. Thomas Elliot's there. He knows who Batman is. And he has already been caught. He's already been put in jail. The word hush hasn't been brought up yet.
Okay.
But he did allude to the Riddler telling him who Batman was.
Oh my god.
Yup. Yeah.
I don't understand these CW shows. I really don't, because like Arrow is bad, but the Flash is good, but they both have bad writing.
Uh-huh.
But there's something about the Flash that is good.
Wholesome. There's a difference. Wholesome doesn't have to be good.
But I mean the Flash is good. Like, it's not You're pulling a me there. That is a very high pitch sound. We've done a little bit of the Hannah high pitch there.
Yeah! Good is not the word I would use to describe it.
But, like, Legends has basically the same thing, right? Like, Legends and Flash are fun in a very similar way, right?
And neither would I describe as good. entertaining,
Flash,
sure.
Flash has really good moments.
It has very entertaining beats, yes.
I will say, I do think the actors in The Flash are probably the best actors of the CW show.
Yes.
But, I'm sorry, excuse me, with the exception of Black Lightning, which I haven't watched a ton of, but there are some pretty good actors in Black Lightning.
I really enjoyed the first season of Black Lightning, and I hadn't watched the rest of it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Lightning was very good.
You gotta catch up, he's gonna be in the crisis.
I know.
It's exciting.
Alright, all of this is my saying, I continue to kind of spite watch Batwoman, because I want more queer characters, and I want more story, and certainly in the Bat world, but not this one. This was a swing and a miss, guys.
I am really glad you're keeping with it, even if you're hate-watching it or spite-watching it, because the CW shows, many of them have traditionally started off real bad.
Yep.
And they have improved to become more entertaining over time. So
Flash has gone with that. Arrow has gone the opposite.
Flash kind of started at a decent point, super picked up real bad for a while, but now it's better. I don't think Arrow was ever...
I think Arrow is ending this season.
It
so.
Is.
Yeah, yes. This is the end of Arrow.
Yeah, I don't think Arrow necessarily... Like, it got okay there for a while.
Well, we got rid of the fish ladder workout scenes, and so now we're done.
Sure.
Sorry. I literally did a blog post when this series came out, and I was like, wow, this guy's pretty.
But yes, I'm hopeful that it will improve Because I also think that Batwoman is just a freaking awesome character. Like, yes. She's an important character. She's an awesome character.
Yeah.
When they brought her in and gave her her main title a couple of years back, the art style was unlike anything else DC was putting out. The characters were very dissimilar to anything DC was putting out. Like, it was a big deal for a reason. And then when it stopped, it was a big deal for a reason, right? Like, they wouldn't let her get married. And that, you know, there's been some really interesting stuff around this character. She's a great character. And as hot as Ruby Rose is, and as much as she looks the part, I sure would like a good actress for this role.
I hope she can grow into it. I hope that we can do better storytelling. I hope you cannot just pick up the thing that people are like, oh, people care about this villain. Let's do something there. I love Hush. Stop ruining things that are good. Anyways. The Dorkadia intern number 4 had some things to say about this. He is Dorkadia intern number 4, by the
Perfect.
Way.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't like Batwoman either. It's fine. Because he has watched every episode with me. Okay. Just so you know.
I thought you were going to accuse my cat of not being woke enough.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, he's...
Oh, no, he's one of Annie's gay uncles.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about the gay uncles.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, yeah. He is the gunkle that does not
the
enjoy...
The gunkle? Are you... No.
He is a gunkle.
That's yucky.
He's not going to talk for you. All of this is to say, I will continue to watch Batwoman with real hoping that it's going to get better. I am...
Let us know if it does.
Less than impressed at the moment, but it is only like 4-5 episodes in so far. So,
yeah,
5. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah. And I appreciate the, okay, you do that. And let us know how it goes.
Yeah, no, she's my, like, canary in the mine for this series. Yeah. So that I don't have to waste my time.
Except it's the opposite. It's just, well, no, I guess it's not. Like, it's when I shut up, I guess. I don't know. I keep yelling no matter what.
That's true. There might have been a flaw in my plan.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a yelling bird.
I'm yelling bird.
You are a little yelling bird.
Well,
you are kind of a party parrot.
Okay, I'm leaving now.
Do you not like our bird comparison?
I don't. Do not like the bird comparisons, excuse me. Okay. Anyways, we will have more to discuss at a later time when you're all done yelling at me. Anyways.
Maybe next week we can discuss how we're destroying capitalism in Outer Worlds.
I will be very excited to do so.
Yes, yes. Because I have a we lot are of all opinions destroying about capitalism, right? Ace characters. Yeah, okay.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Course. Thank you for joining us. You can catch us at Dorkadia.com, at Dorkadia on most social medias, iTunes, Mixer, Google Music. We would love a rating 5 out of 5 what's?
Uncatchable batarangs.
Yeah, that was actually kind of funny. Sorry, there was a joke about how she couldn't catch the batarang because it turns out it was built for Bruce. She doesn't have as long of arms as him. And so she threw it and it came back and she didn't catch it because it was specced for something and she broke something. And it was actually... I have to admit, that was actually kind of funny.
So there's hope spots. Yeah. At least one.
There's a couple brains behind it.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah.
One. I was going to say more undead cows?
What? More cow levels?
Yeah.
Five out of five cow levels?
5 out of 5 cow levels.
But are they undead cows?
There are cows.
No, they're just cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a kingdom of cows, and there's a cow king.
There's a cow king.
It's a very nuanced socioeconomic model behind the cow kingdom.
But do you vote
Which
for the cow
we will
king?
Also tear down. Yeah. In Outer Worlds.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.